T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Gets your juices flowing, doesn't it?
That is the new NBA anthem right there, Dale.
Start of the NBA season tonight.
I'm excited.
Boston Celtics, Philadelphia 76ers. To help us preview that is Chris Forsberg from NBC Sports Boston. Hey, Chris, how are you?
What's going on, Dale? What's going on? Keith, what's up, everybody?
How you doing?
Kind of nice to get the season going again. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
I believe the number is something like 9 of the Celtics' first 13 games are on the road. It's probably not unusual to expect that there could be some timing issues, some integration issues with guys who've been out of the lineup as long as they have. It's possible this team could get off to a bit of a slow start, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and nothing from what we saw in the preseason suggests that this team is ready to sort of be the elite East dominant team that they've been pegged to be. So I do think you can give them a little bit of a cushion coming out at the start of the year. Just like you said, tough road schedule to start. I mean, to go right from Philly, then up to Toronto. It's certainly not an easy way to ease into the year, especially as you're trying to work Gordon Hayward back in and Kyrie missing all that time and Tice and all that. But that being said, they've got great depth. They are essentially the same team, a little healthier from last year. I don't want to give them too much a leeway on the other hand, because they should be really good and they should be able to figure this out pretty quickly. It didn't take a lot of time last year before Gordon Hayward's injury. I want to see if they find that chemistry again here at the start of the year.
Now, this is the first year under Brad Stevens where the expectations are to make it to the NBA Finals. Every other year you had LeBron there or you didn't have a lot of talent. Now you have all the talent in the world. How do you think he is going to adjust to and deal with those heightened expectations?
It will be a fascinating storyline, because even in Butler, you can make the case that there was never these overwhelming expectations. Even the year they went back to the national title game, Gordon Hayward had gone to the draft, so I don't know if expectations were particularly big for them there. It's certainly a different situation, because I think when you think of a Brad Stevens team, you think of a spunky underdog, kind of overachieving and exceeding expectations. Well, that won't happen this year. The one thing that's been interesting to me already is that, you know, Brad has been pretty hard on them. And again, rightfully so, because they were terrible in the preseason. But he's really big on not skipping steps, on building each day. And as boring as that stuff is, that's probably what this team needs to hear right now and understand. You know, Al Horford said it yesterday, you can't win a championship in October. But there's still going to be that little hovering, hey, you're supposed to be really good. And how do these guys respond to that? And, you know, it's going to be a fascinating little storyline, especially if they do stumble out of the gates here. And, you know, who's that voice that steps up and rights the ship? And, you know, you think back to last year, certainly they didn't start well either, starting 0-2, but then they rip off that 16-game win streak. I'll be interested to see how they respond to adversity this time around.
We're talking to Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, about the start of the Celtics season tonight against the 76ers. How concerned should Celtics fans be with the fact that it's not necessarily the foot or the ankle that's been the problem so far with Gordon Hayward, it's the back, including needing an injection?
Yeah, they sort of said that there was probably going to be these little things that crop up. It's just natural. Guy hasn't been on the court now for almost a full year, and as he eases back in and you're so worried about that foot that it's almost natural that something else is going to take the brunt of that exertion. And so a little bit concerning that he had to sit out that last game. You do wonder if there'll be these little things that crop up. I thought I was telling that even Gordon has sort of said he wishes he had that second surgery a little earlier, because he knew it was going to be a process getting back on the court and getting back to feeling like himself, but it's certainly been more maybe daunting than even he probably knew. And I kind of feel foolish looking back, because we sat there and peppered Brad Stevens with questions all last year, like, oh, is Gordon going to be back this season? Is he going to play in the playoffs? Will that be when he comes back? And looking back, it's just, you know, that was unfair expectations to put on him. This is going to take some reintegration, and it's going to take some growing pains. I think tonight in particular will be fascinating. He's never played a home regular season game at the Garden. And so when he gets introduced tonight, it's going to be a ton of emotion, a ton of adrenaline. I really want to see how he responds to that for the first 5 minutes of the game. And, you know, eventually all these questions about his health will go away. But certainly, especially as they ease him in on a 25-minute per game restriction at the start of the year, it's just going to keep happening. And until he looks like sort of the old Gordon Hayward out there, where the focus will be on his health.
It's always great to have a really good bench, but then what comes with that is maybe some guys that think they should play a little bit more, or they need their stats to be a little bit better as they hit contract years, like Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris. They've been saying all the right things so far. They have a nickname for the bench and all that. They're all excited about that, but could that be an issue that this team faces as well?
Yeah, everybody says the right things this time of year, right, Rich?
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
It's so easy, and you're excited about the year. Well, the first three-game losing streak, and you're only playing 18 minutes a game. I love Marcus Morris, it's going to be natural. He's going to grumble. He's not going to be happy to not be out there. And so that's going to be really important. I keep saying it, like, it can't be the bench with attitude, as they've dubbed themselves. It has to be the bench without attitude. But they're only naturally going to want to be out there. And that's, so like you said, that's a good thing from a coaching perspective. You want guys that want to go out there and prove themselves and show that they deserve that next big contract. I think the other thing at play here, and maybe the sort of an under-the-radar storyline, is that the Celtics are slightly over the luxury tax. It's not much. It's like $2 million, and depending on how this Jabari Bird situation plays out, they might be really close to that line. But there's a real situation where if there's a minute crunch later in the season, if for whatever reason someone's disgruntled on that bench, there could be a chance they move one of these guys, whether it's Rozier, Morris, or someone lesser, just to recoup value, recoup assets. You know, you never want to just watch these guys walk away after the season. It's just something to keep an eye on as the season gets going and deeper into the year, closer to that February trade deadline. You know, who of this core sticks? And that's the flip side of that is if everyone's out there and they need all these guys, if they go eight deep and they need everybody, then I can see them stomaching that luxury tax and just kind of being like, okay, this is the price to be a championship contender.
As you pointed out, it's been a bit of a rocky preseason for the Celtics, so maybe you haven't had an opportunity to get a good read on this yet, but how do you feel ultimately Brown and Tatum will fit into this new starting five here?
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, you know, I think they all recognize that they're trying to get Gordon back to himself, but yet you're also trying to figure out your own role, and there's this like triangle of wings and Hayward and Brown and Tatum, and you know they all sort of play the same position, and yet and that's okay in Brad Stevens' positionless offense, but you know you still got to know where you're supposed to be and what your role are and what your expectations are for that position, and so it's just a feeling out process. But I go back to it, like, if you go back and watch the third preseason game or maybe the fourth preseason game of last year against Charlotte, they had this starting five together out on the court, Kyrie, Hayward, Tatum, Brown, and Horford, and they were just unbelievable. And the chemistry came quick, and Brad has sort of explained it as when it's all new, you're just like clinging to every word, you're invested in every play, you're just like, you're trying to figure it all out. And for whatever reason, that didn't happen this year. And maybe understandably so, while they kind of work Hayward back in. But there's definitely going to be a little bit of a feeling out process about how it all works and who gets their shots. I think it's on Brad to sort of help that a little bit by seeing what the first sub lineups are. And okay, do you put Tatum or Hayward with the second unit? Let them sort of be the guy with that second unit. Maybe that gives them a little bit more confidence, a little bit more freedom to go out there and be themselves and be aggressive. That's Brad's biggest challenge this year in general, is trying to figure out how it all works as a big puzzle.
The Vegas over-under for wins is 59. You going over or under?
I'm going under. I just think that, again, they should be really good and they should challenge for 60 wins. But I just think there's there's going to be this thing at the start of the year where they just have to ease in a little bit and figure things out, and that could result in some losses. And fair or not, that's just part of like trying to figure this out. If they win 55 games, but they're playing really, really well in mid-April and into May, then Brad Stevens will be fine with it. The thing is, I think the East is a little bit more daunting than people give it credit for. I think Milwaukee's way better than people think, and Philly will be there, and Toronto's going to be there, especially if Kawhi plays to his potential. Yeah, the bottom of the of the Eastern Conference is terrible, but you know, there's some really good teams here, and it's not going to be as easy to just march to a big win total as maybe people think it's going to be.
But will it be considered a disappointment if the Celtics don't come out of the East?
Yeah, you know, I think that's fair. I mean, listen, if they go into the season and all of a sudden there's injuries, I'll reserve the right to,
sure,
to give them an asterisk and all that. But if they're healthy, if there's no other bumps in the road, then absolutely. Like, this is 2 years in a row they've been to the East Finals. You know, they really probably should have got past LeBron last year. There's no real overwhelming roadblock this season. I think it's fair to say if all goes as we expect and they play to their potential, they should be in the finals. And honestly, like, they are built to compete with a team like the Warriors. I'm not necessarily saying they're going to beat them, but I do think that of any other team in the league, they have the talent, the versatility to sort of give them a competitive series. The biggest disappointment from last year is we didn't get at least a little glimpse of how close the gap is, you know, because we can assume it's pretty big, like that the Warriors are still so much better than everybody else. But I would have just loved to seen it and then kind of reintegrate everybody this year. And maybe this year we'll get a better idea of if the Celtics are really right there with the best in the league.
Now, you have dubbed the starting lineup the Newport Five, Chris. Let me.
That's an awful nickname.
Are you married to that?
Come on.
Are you married to that? Is that sticking? Do they like that? Do they know it? Do they like it?
I think they're indifferent to it. When I have to explain, it's not a good situation. But I think it's like, in my mind, it's fun. Like, you got the Hampton Five, you got the Newport Five. All right,
yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm open to ideas.
Okay.
I'm open to ideas.
Because I just think they could be going in the finals up against the lineup of death, which right away is a great nickname. So I don't know. We've kicked it around on the show. We don't have much better. I thought the Uncle Drew crew wasn't bad.
Right.
What did you call him, Rossi? The Antidote or
something? Yeah, the Antidote.
The Antidote. Yeah. Yeah, well, I was something.
Our goal
was, though, to find something by today because it's opening night, and I'll be honest, I don't think we're that much closer to it.
Well, Marcus Morris showed up at practice today with the Nightmare on Causeway.
Oh, I saw your
awesome
tweet.
Shirt, by the way.
Like, listen, I don't know who made this shirt, and I feel so bad that they're not getting the rightful publicity because people are just, like, knocking down my Twitter trying to buy this shirt, and I feel like I should just steal the idea and start selling shirts for a side business. But, like, it's a really cool nickname, and given the Scary Terry and all that, it's something that could fly at least around this time of year in Halloween.
That's true.
But
I like that. Like
as far as a nickname that's going to stick, I don't know.
It's
like,
tough.
People have said five-leaf clover or shamrock. I don't know.
It's tough.
Newport Five is the leader in the clubhouse.
Okay.
Final question from me. He's saying all the right things, and when Kyrie made that surprise announcement to the season ticket holders
at that event. What a great night.
He said exactly what everybody wanted to hear. Is it your understanding Kyrie Irving will re-sign with this team next offseason?
Yeah, you know, I think we heard whispers internally that everyone really felt that way, and no one really knew if Kyrie would ever come out and say it because it just doesn't make sense for him to do that. And I did think there was a little bit of him that wanted to go through that process and sort of be wanted. I think when you play next to LeBron James, there's just this natural desire to maybe have that spotlight on you. But I honestly think he went through this summer with this Uncle Drew movie and being in the limelight for that. And then he saw this team. He saw the new Auerbach Center. He saw, you know, Brad Stevens as your coach and Danny Ainge as your GM and all the transparency they bring. And he just really fell in love with it. Now, like, it would be the most Kyrie thing to change his mind, but I really don't think that's going to happen. I think he really enjoys his situation here. He understands that, you know, this is set up to be a contender for a long time, and he can be the face of the franchise while still nurturing this young core. And there's an awful lot to like here in Boston. And again, it's just the most Kyrie thing to stand up on a season ticket holder night when I'm munching on a bag of Cheetos and half paying attention, wondering what the next 3-point contest is going to be. And here he is making the biggest declaration of maybe the Celtics season. So he keeps you on your toes, though. I'll say that much.
Chris Forsberg covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. We always appreciate the time and have fun tonight.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.